Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And good morning to the folks in the ethereal world out there on their computers, on Zoom. Welcome to our time of worship. We're glad you're with us today. And as you may notice, Pastor Sean is not here. I'm Chaplain Frank. And a pastor is on what he calls holiday. He's on holiday. So he will be on holiday for a while here, and I'm glad to be here to be able to join you in worship and share God's word with you. Let's see. I think that's all the announcements we need to do. Let us begin our time of worship as I invite you to stand as you are able, and we sing the opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our God, who is
faithful and just,
will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and because of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Therefore, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescue us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things and to love our neighbors as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Leviticus 19, 9 through 18. When you reap the harvest of your hand or your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after you harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the seigneur. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another, and you shall not swear by my name falsely. And so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all the night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer the great. But in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not judge. I'm sorry. But in righteousness you shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Colossians 1 through 1:14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up in, for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the days you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand for the reading of the gospel, please.
Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart,
and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to that man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue our worship as we confess our faith boldly in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and we continue with our next hymn, Lord of All Nations, Grant Me Grace. Grace, mercy, and peace is ours in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our focus is that very familiar story by Jesus as he told it to the lawyer, and who is my neighbor? A certain stranger went from his home on a Sunday morning to attend worship with a certain congregation. As it turned out, he made the effort and made the trip across town because he had heard that this congregation was special. He heard good things about this church. Well, upon his arrival, however, he came upon some rather insensitive people. No one greeted him with a smile or a word. No one reached out to him. He had to pick up his own bulletin when he found where they were, and he had to find his own pew. And by then, he wished that he had stayed in bed, that he hadn't ventured out at all, because these people had robbed him of his anticipation and his enthusiasm, and leaving him disappointed, lonely, embarrassed, and even angry. Now, after worship, even when some people noticed this stranger, they just kept on talking with their friends. They kept on visiting with these people that they knew well. In a like manner, other people, when they walked by him, pretended not to see him because they were feeling a little funny about his olive skin and the shape of his nose. They did not appreciate his hair or his beard, and they didn't like the unorthodox way he dressed. And they too passed by on the other side. But another person, also a stranger that morning, felt the pain and loneliness of that other person, and he was moved with compassion. So he went over to his fellow worshiper, smiled with a broad smile, reached out a strong hand, and spoke an appropriate word. He welcomed him to that church, even though he was not a member. And then he offered silent thanks for this new friend he had. And as it turns out, he invited him to dinner and initiated a friendship which lasted a lifetime. Which of these three, asks our Lord Jesus, seems to have neighbored the stranger? Well, the man who gave practical empathy, the lawyer responded. Then Jesus says, you give the same. Now, this story of the Good Samaritan comes as Jesus' answer to that lawyer's attempt to short-circuit God's demands on his life by playing verbal games with Jesus about who, if anyone, the neighbor could possibly be. In his answer, Jesus does more than merely define what the neighbor is. He calls the young man, and he calls each one of us to be a neighbor, giving Christian love wherever and whenever there is a need. Or as our theme puts it, live like a neighbor. The story divides rather easily into three main characters as we have it in the worship folder, the outline that you see there. And that'll help to remember those phrases that we'll encounter this morning. The first character, or characters you might say, are the thieves, and they have an outlook on life that can be characterized by the phrase, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. They saw this person traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, but they didn't really see him. They saw his money, his fancy clothes, his donkey, his transportation. With no concern about him or his life or that of his health or family, they robbed him. They beat him. They took everything he had and left him on the road to die. Terrible, isn't it? But consider, this is clearly the way the world around us operates. The world around us operates with, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. Whether it's road rage, or cheating on income taxes, or stepping on others in the organization, or for professional advancement, or whether it's nations at war for each other, for oil or for land. What's yours is mine, I'll take it. As common as this is, of course, this is clearly not the Christian way, the way of the neighbor. Down the path where the poor man lies come the next characters, the priest and the Levite, or should I say, the pastor and an elder. If the view of these thieves is, what's yours is mine, I'll take it, the view of the priest and the Levite is the second thought there. What's yours is yours, what mine is mine, and let's leave it at that. They traveled the same road and saw the bloody mess of a man in the side of the road, and they were afraid the same thing could happen to them. And besides, they were probably late for a church meeting. And they hurried on their way, as many do today. This is a story I encountered about a seminary professor. He once described for his class someone who didn't smoke or didn't drink or gamble or sprinkle his conversation with obscenities, and he asked the class if they thought that person was a Christian. One of the eager seminarians jumped up and said, "Not only is that guy a Christian, but I hope that's someone I have in my church eventually." The professor responded, "Well, that's strange. I was talking about my dog." Now, as silly as that story is, it's really saying something to us. It's making the point that being a Christian is not just what we don't do, but instead, being a Christian is what we actually do in life. Now, the priest and the Levite didn't beat that man. They didn't take his money or clothes, but that man ultimately was not any better off after they had come by him. In fact, from the Lord's viewpoint, as pious as they might be, the priest and the Levite weren't much different from the thieves. What's yours is mine, I'll take it. And then their attitude, what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine, they differ only in how they deal with what's yours. And then, of course, there's the third character, the Samaritan. We meet someone who is very, very different. Instead of what's yours is mine and I'll take it, or what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine, let's leave it at that, he had a different attitude. He reached out and touched, to touch and to heal. Given the what's yours is mine, I'll take it mentality of this world, it's no surprise that we find many people lying on the side of the road, don't we? They're battered, they're hurting, whether it's their broken marriage, their crazy family, their financial woes, their occupational problems, maybe not having an occupation. Some hurting so long and so deeply that they don't know who they really are anymore. Unfortunately, too, the tendency of many is to go through life on such a superficial basis that we don't see the pain or hear the moans of people. And we see it again and again, whether it's in our newspapers or watching television, whatever it might be, our podcasts. We see all that stuff, but we, instead of connecting with it, we try to go through life uninterrupted and unburdened, while of course still being respectable and beyond blame. But that's not being a Christian. And the reason we know that is because the Lord has not only told us about the Good Samaritan, he is the Good Samaritan. He lived the life of the Good Samaritan. He came into this world not as a tourist, not as a heavenly dignitary, not a passerby, but he came as one who comes directly for a whole world of people who are suffering on the side of the road of life. What's mine is yours, let me share it with you, is his attitude. What's mine is yours, let me share it, It was that way that he shared with us forgiveness and life, real life and salvation. Peace with God. Now at the end of the story, and as a climax to the story, the Lord Jesus looks at the one who raised the original Christian and says to him, go and do the same yourself. This is the Christian life, because it's a life like Jesus Christ, living like him. That's not to say it will be easy. It won't be. Or that everyone will be impressed at what we're doing. Notice not even the Samaritan was thanked. Not a word of thanks at all there. Nor did our Lord give his life to impress the crowds. He did it because that was what life is. The Christian way, the way of a Christian neighbor. A number of years ago, there was a woman living in Oklahoma who had to be rushed to the hospital. As they were preparing the operating room, it was discovered that she had a rare blood type, which the hospital did not have in stock. So the hospital began to consider its options. They knew if they had to wait for the blood to be flown in from a distant place, it might get there too late. So they decided to call the church where the woman was a member. It turned out that the secretary of the church had computerized all their membership information, including the blood type of every member. Within seconds, the secretary was able to identify three members in the church that had the same blood type. Upon calling these members, one of them quickly went to the hospital where a direct transfusion was performed, and it saved that woman's life. What's mine is yours. I'll share it with you. Actually, what's mine really isn't mine anyhow. Not our body, not our time, not our life, not our family, not our education. These are all things that God has loaned us so that we are better equipped to bring his love to other people. This is the Christian life. Admittedly, easier to talk about than to do, and never done without our Lord Jesus helping us. What's mine is yours. Let me share it. Go then in the Lord's name and give his and your love to neighbors around you. Live like a neighbor. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord, which goes beyond all human understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in a living, loving faith. Amen. Let us stand as we pray. This week, we want to especially remember Kim Hsu and Sue Butler in our prayers. We pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father in heaven, we confess that apart from Christ, we have no righteousness. Yet we rejoice that because your Son has died and risen for us, you promise that our righteousness exceeds even that of the scribes and Pharisees. Because we know the hope that you have laid up for us in heaven, let others see in us a confident faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially a caring love for all those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, by your grace, we have died to sin. Yet sin continues to overpower us. Fill us all with a repentant faith that knows we have been buried with Christ through baptism into his death. Fill us with the Samaritan's joy in helping those in need, no matter what the cost to ourselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, as you grant the length of days to many in our families and communities, you bless us with their wisdom and grant us the opportunity to live out your love for them. Help us to rightly treasure our elders and those in need as they grow in weakness. Deepen their trust in your strength to bear and your power to save. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, guide our leaders, national, state, and local, with your wisdom, and guard us from the rising ungodliness in our land, that your gospel may be preached boldly and continue to bear fruit and grow. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, you have commanded that special attention and care be paid to the fatherless and widows. Abide with all who are lonely. Help us to support the homebound and those in care facilities, those who require ongoing care, and those in hospice. And so we pray, Lord, especially for John Sheppelman, Mary Ann Freeman, Bill Benton, Liz Naki, John and Juanita Steer, and also, of course, Kim Hsu and Sue Butler. We pray for others now in the quietness of our hearts. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers, whether spoken or silent. We pray that you would provide mercy for these people and hear our prayers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, we are heirs of a great inheritance and stand among all the saints who have loved you and have known the delight of your favor. Accept our thanksgiving for the faithful who went before us and bring us at last into your eternal presence in the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we will celebrate even in a few minutes, that knows no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, you have been faithful to us who deserve none of your mercies. Help us to be faithful to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of everlasting life. Hear us in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom be all glory and honor, both now and forever. Amen. We continue with Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.